you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew 5, verse 3, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, verse 3.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, finally Friday, February 13th, 2026. We're continuing our study through the Sermon on the Mount, looking at the Beatitudes. If you were tuned in last Friday, I hope you were blessed by our discussion and encouraged in recognizing God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, but he's approachable because of Jesus. He's a loving God. He cares for us. He's merciful. But don't tinker with them. Don't toy with them. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And there's a choice that we can make, and that's to follow Jesus. He died for our sins. And if we confess him as Lord and Savior and recognize we're sinners, we're flawed, we don't deserve heaven, we can't earn our way into heaven. But God, because of his great love for us, and he demonstrated by sending Jesus, we can have a relationship with him. But he is holy, and he isn't to be trifled with. So I hope today, as we talk more about the Sermon on the Mount, and we talk about this verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You might wonder, what does that mean? Well, stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes as I hope and trust that as we look at what does this blessed are means, today during Mark and Friends, we'll explore how Jesus defines a life that is truly blessed and how these timeless truths speak directly into our everyday lives. So I'm joined by Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church here in Springfield for a thoughtful, encouraging conversation. Now, you should feel prayed up because Liz, who opened up with these verses, she also opened up in prayer, praying that your hearts will be attentive, that you'll be encouraged by what's shared, and you'll be blessed by the knowledge that God loves and cares for you. So Pastor Mark, you were beginning now into these Beatitudes, chapter 5 of Matthew. Today we're looking at blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Poor, nobody wants to be poor, but Jesus means something else here, right?
Jesus has a great understanding. He's looking at us this way, Mark. It's kind of like he's looking at this crowd, and now he's looking at us through Scripture, and he's saying, you know, I like you guys. I want you to be happy. You've got such a bad nature, you don't even know how to be happy. So let me explain to you how to be happy. See, we have this sin nature. Sin basically means, you look at it in the book of Judges, in the last several chapters of Judges, there's these just horrendous actions that take place. And you go, why in the world is this in the Bible? And then it comes around to this, what is a definition of sin? There was no king, so every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's what we do. We do what's right in our own eyes. And we think that's going to get us to happiness. We think that's going to get us to joy. We think if we do what's right, what feels good to us, we even write songs about it. How can it be wrong if it feels so good? Yeah. You know, all these kind of crazy things. Because, you know, we're just wandering around as blind men. So Jesus says, listen, I'm going to show you the way to contentment and fulfillment in life, even in this fallen world. Day's coming. There's going to be a new world. But right now, you're in this one. I'm going to show you the way to that fullness of life. And blessed means the favor of God, happiness, joy, how you get that in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, and I think even defining happy, what does that mean? Because happy is different than having the joy of the Lord. So maybe, again, happy, it could be circumstantial. It could be, it's very temporal. But true joy, true fulfillment comes by that relationship with Jesus through God.
Happiness in the kingdom of God is radically different than the pathway to happiness in the world. Mm-hmm. One is circumstantial. The other is a state of being. Mm. It's the living hope in my spirit. It's when the knowledge of what God says and does lives deep in me. And I can trust him. We talked about this a little bit around this room before we did this session. We look at the grace of God. and we see the grace of God that every one of us need. When we understand that God is a God of grace, we can rest in that grace. When we rest in that grace and it's true, there's a desire in us. One of the evidences that we are really in the grace of God is our heart has been changed towards kingdom of God things and away from kingdom of the world things.
And our series, these past so many months, focusing on the fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those come as that relationship flourishes or we grow in the understanding of God's character.
That's exactly right. So think about this passage. Blessed, happy, favored, blissful are the poor in spirit. That doesn't make sense to us. Mm-hmm. Wait a second, a poor in spirit? What that means, the word poor there, doesn't just mean I have less than other people. In the eyes of Bill Gates, I am poor. In the eyes of many, many people, I would be poor. In the eyes of many people in the world that live in other countries and live in poverty, I would be rich. No, the word here is destitute. It means that we have nothing to offer. I come to God with nothing to offer. I don't come to God saying, hey, you got a deal here. I come to God saying, I need a deal. So he says, you come to him destitute. So any place where I come to God thinking I'm bringing something to the deal is leaving me in circumstantial happiness. But he says, no, come to me empty. Jesus is saying, come to God destitute.
Is it almost like coming humbly too? Is that a way of framing that up?
That's what we'll talk about here in a couple of weeks. Okay. Is this idea of meekness and what humility really means. But it starts here. So we want to kind of look at people and say, hey, God's going to give you a better life. God's going to be great. He loves you so much. You're so great. You're so wonderful. No. To understand this, I've got to understand who I am, which starts with the negative. The negative is I am broken. The negative is I won't make good decisions. The negative is this world has nothing that's going to bring permanent fulfillment in my life. And the negative is I am so separated from God, I can never get back to him.
You know what I'm thinking? You're saying that's the negative, but really, that's the positive. Because if we could come to that understanding, then good things will follow.
When we get to that understanding, then we cry out to God rightly. And that's why he says, it's there. There's where you can begin to discover the kingdom of heaven. You can't discover it until you get there. Because you'll still try to find happiness your own way. You'll still put your own two cents in. And that will always mess you up. It's coming destitute to him. Say, God, I've looked at my life. This isn't working.
Yeah. I'm imagining if I was there hearing this, and this was the language I was speaking, and he would say, are you happy? Because I've been trying all the stuff that everybody else does, and I'm going, this guy's talking about happiness. I'm not feeling particularly fulfilled or happy. What is he saying here? And then he says something that just blows everybody's mind. Are you happy? Those of you who are destitute of happiness, you're the people I can talk to. That's the state you have to be in order to understand just how bad off you are. It's kind of like, you know, Dr. Phil going, so how's that working for you?
Yeah, yeah.
And these people have been going through all this stuff. And here's this guy going, so are you happy? Is it working? And they're going, if I'm being honest with myself, no, I need to hear what this guy's saying.
And a number of people who heard this originally would have known of King Solomon. Now he had all the wealth, all the women, all the power, everything that the world tells us will make us happy. And his response when he wrote in the Bible was to say, meaningless. Everything is meaningless.
Tim, that's really key, because there's somebody's listening to us today and you're listening, you're going, hey, I've got it going pretty good. The wind's at your back right now. Everything's going your way. Everything's working out right now. But there's going to come a day. I hope this sinks into your spirit and you'll remember it. There's going to come a day when you're going to go, is that really all there is to it? There's going to come a day when you're going to realize, no, this isn't enough. Because, see, all of the things that we're building on is our temporary things. What we need in our spirit, what's broken in us, is our connection with a living God and his spirit pouring into our lives and flowing in us. The fullness of resting in his promises. So now we get a touch of the spirit and we begin to rest in his promises. And so we lean into this wholeness of God. So for you, and you're broken today, you're on the other end of this. You know that the things of this world, it's not working out. You're at that place where you're going, hey, this isn't good. What's life about? We would tell you, come to God broken. Come to God with your emptiness. Come to God saying, I need a different way to live. And you're going to find the kingdom of God. You're going to find the kingdom of heaven. And he's going to show you a different way to live. And that's what we're going to talk about over these next few weeks. But it begins with brokenness.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, and listening friend, if you missed any of this in the series when we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, or last week when we began with the Beatitudes out of Matthew chapter 5, but you gave that illustration of that Hollywood actor who had everything, had the wealth, right, the popularity, the friendships, everything going for him. But really, when it came down to that point of honesty, he felt like this is all there is to it. The listening friend, God does love you. He cares for you. You may be tuning in, and this is the divine appointment where you're going to hear from his word that he desires that you come to him. And many of us came to him when we realized we were sinners, we were flawed, that we needed a Savior. And so we embraced Jesus right away. But maybe you don't understand that quite yet. So I would hope that you keep listening or listen to this program again at greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But for the coming weeks on Fridays, we'll be going through the Beatitudes. But let me reiterate what we're looking at today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I hope we get to talk about what we can look forward to.
Yeah, but look at it this way. You know, I get up in the morning many times, especially in the winter, and I'll go down and I'll make myself a cup of hot tea, just help warm up. And I'll go to the room where I read and study in, and I'll read and I'll study and I'll drink that tea. And when I'm done, I take that cup back down to the kitchen, and you know, it's got some residue of the tea in it. I don't want to just set it on the shelf. It's my favorite cup, so I want to use it every day, so I'll rinse it. I'll take time to put a little bit of dish soap in it, and I'll wash it out.
Husbandry 101, guys. Be paying attention. Your wives will appreciate this. Look what he's doing. We need to model after that.
And it'll clean out the residue of that tea pretty quickly, but then I got to keep cleaning it, because it's still got residue of that dish soap in there. If not, the next day when I get up, I have soapy tea. I don't want to have soapy tea. It's all got to get cleaned out. It's all got to be washed out. The cleaning out process is this process of knowing I need everything cleaned out of me. I'm destitute. I have nothing. I can't lean on my own understanding. I can't lean on my own rules. I can't lean on my traditions. I can't lean on how I've looked at the world before. I've got to see different. I've got to see myself differently. Everything in my life gets radically turned upside down. That's what Jesus is doing. Empty yourself. Come to God. He's going to reveal to you the kingdom of heaven. He's going to show you the way. And we'll get into in the next few weeks, we'll get more into how does that begin to work out in our life and what does it show like in our life. But it begins with this place of emptiness and recognizing I am totally, totally, totally dependent upon God. I need to not trust myself. How am I thinking about this? I need to judge it all by the Word of God.
Now, I'm sure as a pastor, you've had many people that you've come across that will say, but pastor, I do this, I tithe, I give money, I'm better than this guy. Don't I get to get into heaven because I'm pretty moral? But this passage is kind of saying, no, it's not by what we do. We have to come broken, recognizing we're flawed sinners.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in church. I grew up all my life in church. I've sat on this program before. My parents took me to church before they took me home. They taught me all the stuff about church. None of that saved me. Now, that was used to bring a revelation of God so that when the Spirit of God moved in my life, I was open to the kingdom of God. But none of that saved me. None of that saves any of us. It is a heart issue of me seeing who God is, coming under conviction that I can never pay him. He is my creator. He made me. I owe him everything. You read a book like John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and one of the stories in there is they're talking about Mr. I think it's Legalism is his name, and he's become very legalistic. He's doing all the right things, and he thinks his debt's paid. And one of the questions that's asked in the book is, what about your previous debts? What about your sin before you began to do this? We can't wash any of that away. We can't do enough good to wash any of that away. We need outside help. Jesus is the outside help. the perfect one, the holy one, who paid the price for our sin. And that's the hope of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is you, starts with a bad news, you are lost and under the wrath of God. Oh, I don't like hearing that. Yeah, but the good news is Jesus came, so you won't be under the wrath of God. Now, you need saved from yourself. You need delivered from the sin nature that rules in you. And the Holy Spirit comes to us to lead us and to comfort us and to fill us and for us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus.
So the second part of verse 3 of chapter 5, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Talk a little bit about the kingdom of heaven and what we can look forward to. And can that kingdom of heaven be experienced here on earth?
Well, part of it certainly is, but we're supposed to be growing in the kingdom of heaven. What happens is the kingdom of heaven moves in us. We become a new creation. And one of the signs of that is there are things that I didn't find of interest or even want to do before that all of a sudden are of interest and I want to do them now. It's a sign, I want to be in church. I want to hear more of the word. Oh, I want to worship. Oh, I want to do this or that. Then there are other things that I wanted to do that suddenly I don't want to do anymore. I want to be free from them. These things are hurting me. And so we begin to work towards this process of being freed from certain things. That is the work of the kingdom of God in us. And it's an evidence that there's a kingdom of God in us. So one of the things I talk with people about, I had a guy come to me once. He had a friend that come to church with him, and they raised their hand and prayed the sinner's prayer. He was mad. He was mad at me. He said he didn't really get saved. I said, really? How do you know that? He didn't come to the altar and cry. You've got to go to the altar and cry if you're really going to get saved. I said, show me that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Listen, I've seen people come to the altar and cry, and I've walked out of there, and they got it. They understood what happened tonight. And 2 weeks later, they hadn't understood what happened at all. Mm-hmm. I've seen other people that they were stoic, and they asked Christ in their life, and 10 years later, they're still growing. No, it's not one or the other. It's not, if you got to be stoic, or it's not, you got to cry. It's the work of God in your heart that matters. Do I open my life, my spirit, to say, you're Lord, I have nothing to offer, I need your forgiveness for my sin, and I'm open to you? That's where the kingdom of heaven begins to move in our life today that we will fully experience in another day. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Tom Hamill was in here, and he shared his book with us, Michael Cumming. And I call it kind of a fiction based on prophecy. It's really an interesting, fun book. And inside of this book, he talks about them going to what's a new earth and the way that earth is laid out and the rules in that place. Well, that's going to be awesome. We get that someday. We get a place where there is no sin. We get a place where we're not tempted by sin, where the enemy isn't there, where there's no curse on the ground, where the animals are acting rightly, where all the brokenness of this world is transformed into what Christ meant for it to be. Right now, we're living in a cursed earth. Things get old, things die, including us. Not in that world. That's the perfect end. In the meantime, while I'm on this earth, I'm looking towards that one with faith, and I'm growing in this one, in my spirit, into the rules of the kingdom that bring the promises of God. So Peter says to us that the promises of God were given to us so that we could participate in the divine nature. We begin to participate in the divine nature when we look at the promises of God and we live out the conditions of those promises, because the living spirit gives us the power to do that.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Is there a stirring in your heart today? Are you embracing God as the ruler, the king, the Lord, the one that you can serve, the one that you can be an ambassador for, that you can walk in cadence with his leading by the Spirit, that Jesus is your Savior, your Lord, that he's master over your activities, over your everyday life? I would pray and hope that there's a stirring in your heart. Maybe you're new to the Christian faith and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. There's trained counselors letters that will answer your questions about the Christian faith. But better yet, this Sunday, pick out a church or find a Christian friend that you know and ask them, can you join them for church this Sunday? And maybe your experience in the past has been that, oh, I didn't like that church. Well, try a different church or a different denomination. God uses the local body of Christ. It's his bride. It's where he wants you to grow and invest your time in your service at a local body of believers, at a local church. So give the church another try. Maybe you're far from going to church. Well, pray it up and he'll lead you to the right church. Find somebody that you respect and that calls themselves a Christian and seems to live consistently with their belief systems. Go to church with them. They would love to take you. Trust me, if you call up a friend and say, will you take me to church this week? They'll delight in that. And stay afterwards and talk with the pastor. They would love to help introduce you to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Mark, I would add one thing to that. When you're looking for a church, there's two things that you need to ask right up front. What's your view of the Bible? It's God's standard for faith and conduct. It is God's word miraculously given to us. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the Son of God, the only way to heaven. If you're going to some church that kind of says, oh, the Bible, you know, we kind of pick and choose what we do there. Or, oh, there's a lot of ways to heaven. Run. Run. Run away fast. You know, get to some place that teaches the Word of God. It's a revelation of God for us.
Amen and amen. Well, I hope you are blessed by listening in today. Maybe you're challenged or you want to think through some things. Hey, go to Calvary Church in Springfield. What are your service times, Mark? I don't think I've ever promoted Calvary Church.
We start every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and at 10:45.
9 and 10:45. And there's many wonderful churches throughout our area where the pastors declare God's word, lift high the name of Jesus, and want to extend God's love to you through the written word, the Bible, our instruction manual, our love letter, God's holy inspired word. So that's another way. Read that today and you'll be blessed. Well, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen anytime once the broadcast has been aired and look under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.